does technology
talk sports?
Yes, yes, it does. Those lonely nights alternating between Bumble and Tinder, and you just keep swiping. You know the feeling? You guys know what I'm talking about. You just keep swiping, right? Right. You do it on Tinder for about 20 minutes. Occasionally, okay, there's a fat girl. I don't know. And you just can't hit.
Airing every day.
From noon to three.
And it does make you contemplate life as you sit there and you say, well, this is depressing. I'll go check Twitter. And it's just all hatred on there. Go to Facebook. Oh, my grandma had liposuction. That's nice. Yeah, check out this. You go to Instagram, you see all the babes there. Think, man, wouldn't I love to live that life? You think about what it would be like if one of those Instagram models just accidentally swiped right on you for once. Go to Snapchat. Oh, got a new one. New notification. That's from Team Snapchat. Damn it. And happy Easter to you, too.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
So, yeah, if you ask me if technology makes people lonely these days, sometimes the only interaction you get is Uber or Uber Eats. At least you get some human interaction that way.
Just take the point. I don't want it. Just Cody wins.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Truly the perfect game day tailgating pre-game beverage. Ponja a couple of Trulies before the 12 o'clock kickoff tomorrow, or sit at home and watch it. Enjoy some Trulies as you watch. You truly love to see it. Drink something you truly want. Hashtag live truly. Cody McClure. Hour two headlines. Collision course.
Right meow.
All right, thanks, John. A new development in the Steve Kerr situation in the NBA in China. He responded yesterday to Donald Trump's criticism. He said, I was the shiny object. There was a new one today. There will be a new one tomorrow. The circus goes on. And then he went on to say some other things.
Yeah, like, I got some audio.
Okay, we'll deal with that later.
Maybe we'll do that next segment.
Okay. Well, the NBA has canceled media availability for the rest of the China trip. So, Saturday's game between the Lakers and Nets still scheduled to be played, but the teams won't be talking about it. So, we'll move on to that in the next segment, I guess. El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie, has made its debut. It is now out on Netflix, and people apparently really like it.
I haven't seen any reviews for it.
Well, the critic reviews are...
I don't want to hear the critic reviews, please. I don't like hearing that, please. I haven't seen it yet. I'd like to watch and judge for myself.
I wasn't going to tell you.
Okay. I don't know.
You don't want to know anything?
I don't know if the critics are thinking it's good or bad. I'd rather not. No. If that's all the same to you.
All right.
Well, I mean, we've gone
over... Let's try a third headline here.
We've gone over this a million times. And look, I understand that, like, you know, the first headline you gave me, I was like, hey, I want to talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
The second headline you gave me was, what was the second headline you gave me?
It was the...
That one just right then?
The Breaking Bad movie. Okay.
Well, that's unfortunate for you that you were 0-2 in creating a dialogue. But I will say, we've talked about this many times, that I don't like seeing the reviews before I go see a movie. I like to judge myself.
All right, calm down, bro.
We've talked about it.
Take it easy.
You know I'm a Breaking Bad fan, but I will say, gotta be honest, McClure, gotta be honest here. Big Mac, I am not...
Please don't call me that.
I am not really that excited for El Camino. I've shared my Breaking Bad takes before. I'm not a huge Jesse Pinkman fan. Kind of hope Todd finds him and gets his hands on him.
I'd love to tell you, but, you know.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
All right.
Got the Netflix fired up. I'll check it out. But like I said, not that anxious for it. I'm much more like, can we just get like season 5 of Better Call Saul, bro? Like, can we just get that instead?
That's
much
coming.
Much rather watch that than El Camino. But shout out to Aaron Paul. Like, obviously his career probably hasn't gone where he thought it was going to go after Breaking Bad. Can we agree on that? Like, Aaron Paul probably thought he was going to have a bigger career than this, right?
Probably.
They're like, hey, I'm going to get some movie roles, and all I got was the Need for Speed, and that one flopped, and I think he is in maybe season 3 of Westworld on HBO, so that's cool at least. Like, he's got that going for him, but wasn't able to parlay this iconic once-in-a-lifetime role into any movie success. Maybe he's a TV actor.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe so.
Maybe he's just like, he was just destined to play Jesse Pinkman, who kind of sucked, by the way. Didn't like Jesse Pinkman.
Friends.
And actually, now that I talk about it, I don't really.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, first you complain I don't talk about it enough. Now you complain I'm talking about it too
much. I
got
other headlines ready now.
Oh, okay. So I stalled long enough for you. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, unless you want to keep talking about it. You want me to read you some critic reviews?
No.
All right, well.
I'm not that excited for the movie, though.
Okay. Well, friends close to Curt Schilling say he wants to get back into the game.
And in what regard? Like pitch? He wants to pitch again?
I don't think so. He has significant interest in interviewing for the Phillies managerial opening and or the Red Sox pitching coach job. So Curt Schilling wants to come into the manager game.
I like how he's like, I'll be the Phillies manager or the Red Sox pitching coach. Seems to kind of be two different levels there.
Boy, the liberals are really mean to Curt Schilling on the internet. They really don't like Curt Schilling.
Really?
One guy says Curt Schilling should get back into baseball like Casey Anthony should get back into parenting. People are so mean on the internet. They really are.
That's a pretty good line, though.
Pretty mean people. These liberals, for the most part, aren't they supposed to be the accepting group? They're just as mean as the hard right-wingers.
We're all terrible.
People are mean. Yeah. Just people in general are just awful.
We are all terrible.
Yeah. Well, speaking of politics, a breaking story coming out here out of Nashville. Belmont has been chosen to host a presidential debate next year.
Oh!
Next October. So that's a big deal.
An actual presidential debate, yeah. In October. That'll be, you know, a month before before the vote.
Yeah, the election happens in November.
Apologies to everyone who lives around Nashville. The stuff's going to get really shut down that week. Going to be really tough to maneuver through traffic.
That's going to be crazy. So Belmont has been selected as a location for the 2020 presidential nominee debate. The university president was joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn, congressman, a bunch of politicians. And basically, they released the news yesterday. So, yeah. Oh, it's October 22nd. That's 10 days before the election.
Oh, wow.
So, that's big.
Cool for Belmont.
That is cool. So, that'll be Trump and someone. Whoever the Democrats nominate there. Robert Kraft says that Rob Gronkowski, Gronk, has not filed his retirement papers yet.
As long as he's been around, you...
Gronkowski.
You don't know how to say his name as long as he's been around?
Gronk has not filed his retirement papers yet.
Interesting.
He is not ruling out a return this season. The Patriots won't rule it out. Kraft says he's not ruling it out.
He's going to be back.
You think so?
Yeah.
Did you see his debut last night on the NFL... On the Fox Sports show?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Did you see it?
He called Edelman a squirrel.
It made sense. He's elusive. He's quick. And when he sees that opportunity, he goes and gets that nut.
That's what he said.
And then, I don't know if you saw at the end of the game, Julian Edelman caught that really nice pass down the sideline where he laid out and dove and caught it. He went and got that nut.
Apparently, Robert Kraft said on the NFL Network pregame show, "We all love Gronk, and I think the bottom line is he hasn't put his retirement papers in yet. We can pray and hope. I think that's a good academic argument that there is hope with Gronk."
All right.
So that could happen. That would be cool if he just came in like, when would he come back? Just for the playoffs?
He'll probably come back like week 12. Week 12. I don't know, Jakob Johnson, I don't know if you saw where he had been, the Patriots' starting fullback. He is on injured reserve now, so he was getting a good shot. Now he's injured. Patriots getting a little thin at that kind of blocking tight end position.
Gronk went on to say after Kraft's comments, "I'd have to be feeling it big time to come back. but it's always going to be open in my mind. I'll always keep the door open. Yeah, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Gardner Minshew is available in Gardner Minshew's fantasy football league with his high school friends. You see this story?
That's kind of funny. Yeah, I did see that story.
He's in a fantasy league with his friends from high school, and he's available in the league. No one's taking him. No one picked him. The group all found better options.
I feel like if I was in Gardner Minshew's league, I would pick Gardner Minshew up.
His friend Trey Polk.
Only to play him against himself. Like whenever I played Gardner Minshew, I would start him as my quarterback.
Yeah, he said.
Play mind games with him.
He said he's continuing to wait for Minshew to draft himself. I keep waiting for him to pick himself up, but no one took him. Gardner Minshew is available in Gardner Minshew's fantasy league. That's weird that no one's taking him. Yeah. Instead of choosing himself, you know who Minshew took instead of himself?
Yeah. Nick Foles?
Kyler Murray.
Smart. I'd rather have Kyler Murray, too.
And he is apparently tied for the top spot in his league.
Well, good for him. Yeah. Any other headlines?
Nah, we're good.
Good batch. All right, we'll come back. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited. Back on the program. Where are you at? Has the NBA China story, has it reached like kneeling for the anthem story for you? Like, are you still into this at all? Do you still care about the conversation going around it, or are you just tired of it?
Yeah, I think it's a big story.
Okay. The audience feels that way too, like in terms of like, I've seen people still mad about it online is why I'm asking.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think it's at kneeling for the anthem yet. I mean, it's not on that level yet, is it? I mean, because the story's only been around since Monday. Or I guess over the weekend. But I think it's a big story.
I think people enjoy talking politics and sports whenever it feels like they kind of have the upper hand. Like the NBA's made so many people mad that now that they don't want to talk politics, like people are mad. Like, no, come on, tough guys. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Clay Travis is having a field day.
You want to talk about politics all the time? We'll talk about it now. Talk about it now. What are you going to do?
It's a big story. I mean, it keeps... Keep cycling. I mean, it's made it almost a week now. It'll continue to be a story. What's the end game with this story?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Because like you talked about, I do think this is an important wrinkle and something that people should kind of point out as they're yelling at the NBA right now about like, hey, say something, do something. Steve Kerr, say something, do something. Feel like at the very least, the NBA and the coaches should kind of at least wait till LeBron James, the Lakers, Kyrie Irving, the Nets are home from China. Because they do play another exhibition game tomorrow 20 miles from Hong Kong. Like, they have one more of these little exhibition games before they can come home. So I feel like at the very least, like, hey, maybe we don't say anything to make anybody mad until we get our boys home type of thing.
They need to just get them home now.
They do need to get them home, but like I feel like they're. I mean, obviously the NBA doesn't want to lose the half a billion dollar contract they have with China.
$500 million?
Yeah,
that's how much it is.
I want to say it's either $400 million or $500 million for like a 7-year deal with showing their game. So like they don't want to lose $500 million, and quite frankly, the players probably don't want to lose that money either because they get half of it on their salaries, like when it goes to the salary pool. So like. Everyone's trying to tiptoe around all this money. I get that. I really hadn't had a problem so far, Cody, with people not speaking out against it. But then you have what Steve Kerr did last night. I'm just like, bro, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Here's Steve Kerr, who drew the ire of President Trump. President Trump called him scared. Said all he wants to talk about everything, but now he doesn't want to talk about China, huh? Interesting. And many people have kind of felt that same way. Both parties, like this is the rare political issue where everyone seems kind of connected on
liberals, conservatives, everyone's kind of like, yeah, this thing in China is not good. This is bad. Speak out about it. Speak out about it. Well, Steve Kerr didn't speak out about it. Was asked again, and this was his response.
It has not come up in terms of people asking me about it, people discussing it. No. Nor has our record of human rights abuses come up either. You know, things that our country needs to look at and resolve, that hasn't come up either. So none of us are perfect, and we all have different issues that we have to get to. And saying that is my right as an American doesn't mean that I hate my country. It means I want to address things, right? But people in China didn't ask me about, you know, people owning AR-15s and mowing each other down in a mall. I wasn't asked that question. So we can play this game all we want and go all over the map and, you know, there's this issue and that issue. And the world is a complex place and there's more gray than black and white.
Steve Kerr, bro. You can't sit up there and try to gaslight the issue and say, well, yeah, China's maybe not great, but hey, we got some private citizens who are shooting people in the mall. What about that? That feels like a false equivalency. That feels, I mean, if you want to get down to like the actual politics of it, Cody, like he's arguing against freedom in that analogy. Now, depending, you know, regardless of how you feel about the gun rights, the gun situation, gun control, should we have them? Should we have AR-15s? Like, that's irrelevant. You're arguing for the government to, you know, keep its citizens from having that option. You're arguing for regulation. You're arguing for more rules and less freedom for the American people while you're like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about what's going on with China and Hong Kong and the harvesting of organs and all of that stuff.
Now, what is the harvesting of organs? That's when they take them from their prisoners, right?
Yeah, they got all these prisoners, and if you are a match to a Chinese official and they need a kidney,
you're SOL.
And you have that kidney and you're in prison, you get killed and they take your kidney. The harvesting of organs. That doesn't seem the same as having the ability to own guns, right? Doesn't really match up here in the on the scale of you know, equality and human rights.
Yeah, I don't really know how the NBA can come out of this. Is there any way to come out of this looking, I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to look good no matter what.
They're either going to come out of this looking bad or they're going to come out of this, like I said, $500 million poorer. And that in turn is going to mess up player money and all these big contracts. It's going to mess up owner money and no one wants that to happen. I will say for Steve Kerr, like I was almost giving him the benefit of the doubt because the last thing I think Steve Kerr should want to do, or at least from a basketball standpoint, if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm like, hey, I don't want to say anything bad about China, about Hong Kong. I don't want to talk about the situation because what happens if we get, you know, banned from China the same way the Rockets have? What happens if I mess up Steph Curry and Klay Thompson's money? Like, Klay Thompson's already, you know, his shoe company was with the Chinese company. They've already kind of backed out on him. What happens if I mess up Steph Curry's money? What happens if I mess up the owner's money to a bad, you know, to a bad extent? Like, what happens if I affect those around me who either depend on me, the players, or employ me, the owners?
Yeah, but now he's made it worse on the other side.
When you come out and say something stupid, but what about guns? Like, come on, bro. Like, either say you're not going to talk about it, or say something of substance. Don't come out and still try to do your political speech whenever you are, making a really, really dumb comparison. You just make yourself look stupid. Make yourself look dumb. Make yourself look uneducated. And I know Steve Kerr is not dumb. I know he's not uneducated. You really lost the moral high ground here, Steve Kerr. You really come out looking like a clown.
Yeah, he looks bad. He looks bad after this. I mean, they're putting people in concentration camps over there, too. It's not just the harvesting of organs.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously a lot of stuff going on in China that doesn't really mesh well with the human rights and the standard we have here in America.
Maybe Steve Kerr just doesn't care about people over there. Maybe he just cares about the people here.
I don't know if it's true, but there's some Twitter detectives that tracked down. He had retweeted something about the situation like a month ago, saying he stood with Hong Kong as well. So
yeah,
when he acted like he hadn't had any knowledge of it, he was just kind of being phony.
I mean, what's the answer for the NBA?
I don't know.
What do you do if you're the NBA?
You try to develop a time machine and go back and tell Daryl Morey not to ever send out a tweet about Hong Kong. Like, this this was 100% avoidable. Like, they could have done this Chinese tour, and maybe some people would have brought up what's going on, but it wouldn't have been the hot-button issue on the sports meat market this week. Like, when I say the meat market, on the menu, they've been really devouring this all week. The political pundits have also been devouring this. Like, this is this hasn't been good.
I guess if they can get through today, you at least get a football weekend, you know, get some baseball playoffs. You're hoping for a lot of sports drama this weekend.
And then eventually you want the league just to start. Like, it starts, not this upcoming Tuesday, but next Tuesday, you'll get LeBron versus Kawhi, and maybe it starts going away then. I don't know. Maybe the NBA takes a different stance, whenever their biggest star, LeBron James, gets home from China after their game on Saturday.
I mean, do they make some kind of statement about it and pull out of China to save face? Or can they save face at this point? Do you just ride with it?
They've put so much effort into globalizing the game, and that's like their one way of trying to keep growing the sport. Because, I mean, I don't want to say basketball has maxed out in America, but basketball has maxed out in America in the sense that it's never going to be bigger than the NFL, right? It's never going to be number one. But worldwide, it could be number one. Worldwide, people in China like basketball much more than they like football, right? People in different countries that don't play American football all gravitate towards basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, I don't mean to disparage soccer. Obviously, soccer is a huge deal worldwide, too, but I'm just saying between the American sports that are big, people like basketball more than football. So, like, their way of growth, their way of keep making all this money and to keep, you know, global expansion, that's been something they've been working for 20 years. If you throw China away, then, like, you know, it's throwing, like I said, up front almost $500 million. That's not even talking about merchandise sales. It's not even talking about Asian Americans who live in America. Because, like, not only are you throwing away the Chinese government, you're also throwing away the Chinese people. And, like, I keep going back and forth. Like I said, like, people keep saying they want to hear LeBron James speak about it. And I ask, like, what's LeBron James going to do about it? Like, when LeBron James speaks out on gun control in America or speaks out on police brutality, there's a way of affecting change. At least there's a path there. Like, hey, LeBron James speaks out enough about it, people start thinking about it here in America. We can vote. We can change things. What is LeBron James speaking on Chinese communism going to do? He's not going to be able to control or change anything that the Chinese people think. They're a communist country. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of have, a dictatorship over there that is kind of, either brainwashing or controlling the message, controlling the line of thinking. And then they, by the way, for as much as they love LeBron James, there's also Yao Ming, who is, working hand-in-hand with the Chinese government, who is always going to be a bigger star than any American basketball player, and he's telling you everything's okay. It's not like you're going to invoke change if you are LeBron James, unless you're LeBron James and you come out and say, hey, Nike, let's stop selling in China. Let's stop having our stuff work hand-in-hand in China. Let's stop doing that. Let's turn down billions of dollars, which I don't think any business person is going to do.
No, if you're the NBA, I mean, you got to stick with the contract. And I think you just take the heat that comes, you know? I don't know if you apologize to China or you try to make China not upset. But, like,
they're trying to placate China for sure. They're trying to get out of there without ruffling any more feathers. That's why you've seen, Cody, your headline of no more media availability. They just kind of want to quit getting questions asked and kind of just try to hope this goes away.
I mean, I don't know if it'll go away in America, but at the same time, I mean, I think you got to ask, like, if you put yourself in the situation of the NBA, what would you do? I mean, I don't think anybody's going to pull out of a half a billion dollar contract. Is it just the hypocrisy that people are so upset about it? I mean, the amount of money. I mean, the thing is, even the people that care about all the human rights and everything, they're interacting with China too.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we're all buying clothes from China. We're all using phones from China.
We're sitting here on our iPhones.
Yeah.
Our president, our country is working through a trade war with China. Like, we want to keep doing business with them. So, like, it's not like we want to neglect China altogether. It's not like we are trying to boycott.
We can't. Trade
like,
with
they
China.
They own over $1 trillion of our debt. Like, we can't. Yeah. We're kind of connected there together.
Yeah, so that's the kind of the thing I've been wondering about is everybody that's trashing the NBA, and they're like, what do you expect? I mean, that's what we all do. Disney does it. I mean, you saw the South Park episode making fun of it.
Where Mickey Mouse is like, hey, you shut your mouth.
Yeah, like, we're all in the Chinese market. We're all connected. So if you have a problem with their human rights and all that, I mean, what are you doing in America to make changes? You know, are you not buying the Nike shoes? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody in this country is connected to China. Like, we can say their practices are disgusting and all that, but even the wokest of the woke, you're still buying Chinese-made goods.
It's probably the fact that, like I said, the NBA has been outright with their support of political issues, their support of trying to be activists. LeBron James kind of brought this on himself by wanting to tell everyone who would listen he's more than an athlete, he's not going to shut up and dribble, and now people are like, well, okay, then say something. Don't only say something when it's convenient. So people are just kind of waiting for this opportunity. And look, I mean, everyone who listens to the show knows I love the NBA. Like, I like them being outspoken. It's a bad look when you're not going to be outspoken now. It's a bad look. Especially, like I said, if you're just going to say, hey, we're not going to do it, we're not going to comment on it, that's one thing. But when Steve Kerr comes out and, like I says, tries to what about gun violence? Come on, bro.
But if the people that are trashing the NBA, though, if we're being honest with ourselves, isn't calling out the hypocrisy of the NBA a little bit hypocritical in itself?
Say that one more time.
I feel like the people that are really going after the NBA here and calling out the hypocrisy feel like they're a little hypocritical themselves. The fact that just we all interact with China, you know?
People would say we don't have a platform. People would say that we don't go out of our way to say stuff, that we don't go out of our way to be political type of thing.
But everybody, I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people do. I mean, a lot of people got their online opinions. They don't have the platform, sure. But
it really is a no-win situation right now for the NBA. Like, either they have to sacrifice, you know, what is it? What would it be? Almost 10 digits of money?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe talking $1 billion over the course of the next decade. Like, you sacrifice $1 billion. Or you try to stand up and make a statement.
Yeah. I mean, the NBA hasn't made itself look good here, but also I just kind of wonder, you take the average Joe and put him in the shoes of the NBA, probably going to do the same thing.
Yeah, Daryl Morey really did not help his employers.
Put him in a bad spot, didn't he?
Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Read some feedback here. Twitter writes in, one could argue that if Chinese citizens had guns, they wouldn't be thrown in concentration camps or harvesting the organs. Okay, let's move on. Outside Clutter says, I think people just want to see the LeBrons and Steve Kerrs be consistent on these types of issues. I assume he means on. He says not these types of issues. I assume he means on. Is it fair to want to... Is it fair to want to make someone give a statement? Like, I'm 1,000% on board with ripping Steve Kerr here. Steve Kerr has come out looking like a jackass. Like, Steve Kerr has come out looking like an idiot. Is it fair to be mad at LeBron for not saying something? Like, do we have to have a take on everything?
No, I don't think so.
I think once Steve Kerr gives us his take and we all look around and say, this take is really stupid, I think he should be ripped.
Yeah, because it was his choice to give the take.
He gave the take. He said it. He was a coward. I haven't seen LeBron even be asked about this or give any type of statement. I've seen Steph Curry say, hey, I got to learn a little bit more about this, which I fully believe that Steph Curry isn't well-versed in what's happening over in China. Well, I fully believe that because I wasn't well-versed in it. Why would Steph Curry be? Now, maybe you could argue he should be because he makes a lot of money from the country. But at the same time, I wasn't well-versed in it, so I'm not going to say that he should be.
I think that a lot of people expect the NBA players to be versed in it now since it's going on. But I don't think LeBron owes us a take. I mean, I don't think he should have to talk about it if he doesn't want to talk about it. Now, the whole I'm not well-versed in it, I kind of feel like that's maybe an excuse. Okay. I think if you're LeBron and you get asked about it, I think you just say, I'm not going to talk about it. You know what I mean? If you say you're not well-versed in it, it's like, to me, that sounds like you are well-versed in it, and you just don't think you should say anything. I would rather them just say, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to talk about it.
I'm 100% on board with ripping Steve Kerr. I'm undecided on how I feel about LeBron, because I kind of go back to, like, what's LeBron actually going to accomplish? He is only going to hurt himself by saying something. It's only going to affect his bottom line, the Lakers' bottom line, the NBA's bottom line. He's not going to invoke change. That's kind of where I'm at now, but at the same time, I understand if you're a little frustrated that he hasn't said something and you're like, hey, a little hypocritical, LeBron. I'm like, if he says something and it's stupid, that's one thing. If he doesn't speak, I don't know.
Well, do you give Steve Kerr credit at least for saying something?
No. I'm saying, like,
I mean, if that's what we wanted.
Well, the president got him to say something about it, kind of. Like, he tried to go with, I'm not going to talk about it. And then President Trump said, well, you want to talk about everything else? What's the matter? You scared? So then he came out and said something that was really stupid.
I don't think anybody owes us a take, but, like you said, if they're going to give us a take, then they open themselves up to criticism then. And Steve Kerr sounded like an idiot.
Another tweeter writes in, if Remington offered to support the NBA the way that China is supporting them money-wise, they'd turn it down because of their morality. It would be all over the news. So he says they would turn down that $500 million. It's an interesting hypothetical.
I don't know if anybody's turning down $500 million for anything.
I don't know. I won't say that, I won't say that they would take it. I won't say that they wouldn't turn it down, but that is an interesting hypothetical.
Of course, Remington doesn't really help them expand their brand from the U.S. Maybe it helps them expand the brand in the South a little bit. You know?
Troy says everyone has a price. I'd tongue kiss Patrick Ewing if the price is right. However, silver is...
It's an oddly specific example.
Yeah. Why Patrick Ewing, Troy?
And why a tongue kiss? How much further would you go than a tongue kiss?
Everyone has a price, he says, but like Patrick Ewing is just like a weird example to use.
What if it's Magic Johnson?
I imagine the price would have to be higher.
Significantly.
I would imagine it would. He says, silver is just ballless. Reaction should have been, if Houston is banned, then the NBA is banned. And just all pulled out. I don't know. Adam Silver is probably like, damn it. I did not want to have to make these decisions. We're supposed to be doing our little press tour, globalizing the game. Everything was supposed to be fine. The season that everyone's really excited about is right around the corner. Parody. Clippers, Lakers, the Knicks are back. The Knicks aren't hopeless. The Nets could be really good.
I mean, the NBA did bring this on themselves, though.
They did.
You know.
They did.
The fact that they want to be so outspoken and Daryl Morey felt the confidence to send the tweet. I mean, they brought it on themselves. Now, Adam Silver probably wishes he didn't have to deal with it, sure, but you kind of get what you get when you, you know, you want your players to be outspoken. Eventually there's going to be a controversy.
Yeah, like I said, if Steve Kerr just would have said, hey, I'm not going to talk about it, that would have been one thing. And if he just said, look, this affects more than just me because Klay Thompson has a huge deal here. He does a tour every year, every offseason, where he comes and visits, as does Steph Curry. The NBA is here now. My bosses don't really want me to talk about this. I don't feel comfortable talking about this. That's one thing, but with the way Steve Kerr handled it, not good. Appreciate all the tweets.
Go ahead and do your civic duty, man.
Y'all did your civic duty. Appreciate you interacting with the show. We'll switch gears. We'll talk some college football coming up next. We'll power rank our games of the weekend. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
I need more than power.
Rankings. Rankings.
All right, let's power rank our college football games of the weekend. I finally got a little bit of a decent weekend here for college football. Actually had some games to pick from. Cody McClure, hit me with your top five college football games of the weekend, please.
Yeah, there are some games to pick from. I had a little trouble narrowing mine down. Number five, I'm going to go with USC at Notre Dame. USC needs a win. Notre Dame, very good team. I think Notre Dame will probably handle USC coming in, but that is a rivalry. It's a weird rivalry. I always like watching that game ever since the push from Bush. It's a big game. USC needs one. Notre Dame, the better team. We'll see how it goes. Similar situation in my number four. I got Florida State at Clemson, actually. Last time we saw Clemson, they were tested by North Carolina in a tough game. I want to see if Trevor Lawrence bounces back, see if Clemson's offense bounces back. Florida State, low-key, kind of has been decent this year, really. I mean, they lost the game to Boise State. They had big lead, should have won that game. Then they had a shootout with ULM, which, you know, they won. I mean, since then, they lost to Virginia on the road, good team. They handled Louisville. They handled NC State. Based on the last time we saw Clemson, I mean, I feel like Florida State could challenge them. So how does Clemson respond to this game? I'm interested in that. Number three, Penn State at Iowa. A lot of people think in the Big Ten it's going to come down to Penn State and Ohio State. Iowa going on the road to whatever that stadium is going to be hard to do at night. We've seen teams go in there and lose before. They're going to play tough defense. It's going to be one of those dogfight kind of games. I don't know if Penn State can handle that. I imagine the Iowa environment's going to be really good. I think I might take Iowa in that game. Big test for Penn State. Number two, I go Florida at LSU. It's the best SEC game. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I like LSU in the game. A lot of people are saying LSU could win this game big, though. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Florida will show up, and it'll be one of those classic Florida-LSU games. But this is a good game every year. And these two teams are both ranked in the top 10 right now. I saw, Stuart Mandel put an article out yesterday arguing that the winner of this game should be ranked number one. I don't know about that, but it's a top 7 matchup. Take LSU at home, big game. Number one, I'm going Oklahoma-Texas. I love the Red River Shootout. I don't think they call it that anymore because, you know, mass shooters and stuff like that. But that's always one of my favorite games of the year. That's going to be a high-scoring, tight game. I think it'll be a lot like that LSU-Texas game. Oklahoma's a better team, but Texas totally capable of knocking them off, and that could derail Oklahoma's season. So that's always an early game, too. That's a noon game, Red River. I like that game a lot.
All right, number five for me. I put it at number five. This game might not be great, but I'm interested in the the situation surrounding it. Number five for me, Cincinnati at Houston. Did you see the Houston players thread last night? I want to see exactly how Dana Holgorsen's boys respond to basically having a player say Dana Holgorsen is a jerk. Dana Holgorsen has quit on the season. Dana Holgorsen kicked him off the team. Got a lot of bad publicity in Houston right now. Cincinnati's ranked. They beat UCF last weekend, so I mean maybe the game won't be awful, but I'm just interested to see how Houston looks. Another kind of line of, I guess along the same line of thinking, number four, you said you're interested in Florida State at Clemson to see how Clemson responds. I'm always just interested to see how bad it can get for Willie Taggart. We haven't had a Florida State meltdown recently. Seems like they've kind of straightened things out a little bit.
They're getting better.
Yeah, they've straightened things out a little bit. Can Clemson beat their brains in and make it bad for them again? Can Florida State hang in? How good have they gotten? That interests me, so I will be interested in watching that game. Number three, Alabama at A&M. I just like watching Alabama's offense play. And, I mean, it is in the historic and really loud and really tough to play in Kyle Stadium, Kyle Field.
Kyle Field. 12th man.
Yeah, the 12th man. You know, when you have a game in the 12th man, you gotta give that one respect, right?
I thought about including that one, but Bama's going to – they're going to run all over them.
It's okay. Clemson's probably going to run all over Florida State, and I had that one at number four. So I want to watch Alabama's receivers, just see what they can do. Maybe Jimbo can create some magic. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
It is in Kyle Field, man. It's one of the best venues in all of America.
Yeah. We get that.
One of the toughest places to play.
We get it. We get the shtick here.
Number two, Florida at LSU. I think this one's going to be a blowout, too. So far, like I got three games I feel like are going to be blowouts. I feel like Clemson's going to run Florida State. I feel like Alabama's going to run A&M. I feel like LSU's going to run Florida. We'll see, though. Florida does maybe have a defense that can keep it close.
I think that'll be a fight.
I just don't think they have the offense that can score.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
This is the best defense LSU's gone against, too. So.
But I am intrigued in this game just to see if Joe Burrow is legit. Like, do it against a good team, Joe. Like, I know you did against Texas, whatever, that's fine. Do it against Florida. Do it against an SEC team before I start thinking of you as a potential first-round quarterback. What do you got? What do you got for Florida's defense this weekend? Do you still look as good? Are things still as easy for you? Then I'll start taking you serious. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair, yes.
Number one, Oklahoma at Texas. You buying an upset here at all? Chance Texas beat Oklahoma last year in this game. Any chance they do it again?
Yeah, I could see it. It's in the Cotton Bowl still, right?
Yeah, it's still neutral site.
Neutral site.
Still neutral site.
That's I think there's a lot of potential for an upset there. I do. I think it'll be a close game. It'll be a shootout. It's a high-scoring game. I don't know. What's the over-under on that game? I haven't even looked at it.
I haven't seen either. I'll get that answer for you to start our three headlines, maybe. Or you can go over to my bookie and do it right now.
See if I can find it right now.
There's actually some leftover games this week that there hasn't usually been. Like, I mean, South Carolina, Georgia, whatever. Arizona State hosting Washington State. Mike Leach, I don't know if you saw his post-game presser where he kind of went off on his team and how soft they are and how entitled and how basically they are losers. Interested to see how his team responds on the road at the Fighting Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards has Arizona State ranked 18th in the country. Michigan State at Wisconsin, also, you know, worthy of watching. I didn't have Penn State at Iowa in mind. That's a top 20 matchup. So, yeah, there are some leftover games, which usually we don't get. So I'll give this college football weekend an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, it should be a good weekend. That over-under is 75.5.
Whoa, man.
That's going to be a shootout. That's why they call it the Red River Shootout.
That is why they call it the shootout, I think. I don't know if that's actually why they call it the shootout, but it works, I guess. In this sense, too, it should be a lot of points scored. Kind of think Texas wins this game. I don't know if they will. Just feels like they're going to keep it really close and maybe win. Although I do like Jalen Hurts. Do you see Jalen Hurts' comments when asked about this game?
What did he say?
Basically, it's just like, I've played in the Iron Bowl, bro. The Iron Bowl, bro.
The Iron Bro Bowl.
I've played in the Iron Bowl, bro. Like, I think I can handle playing in the Red River rivalry. We actually go on the road and play at other people's stadiums whenever we do it. We don't have to do the neutral site thing. He didn't say that, but he was probably thinking it.
It would probably be more difficult to play in the Iron Bowl at a raucous Auburn crowd.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, everything's good. I think I'll be able to handle this rivalry. I've played some big-time college football before.
He's going to put up some points. He'll have a big game, obviously. Sam Ehlinger, see if he can return the favor.
I'm rooting for Oklahoma.
Yeah, me too. Can't root for Texas.
No, I'm rooting for Oklahoma. And I'm rooting for Oklahoma the rest of the year. So, you know, hopefully they win. All right, good batch of power rankings. 8.5 out of 10 on the scale. Do you feel good about that in terms of the slate?
That sounds good to me.
Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 with headlines. Stick with us.